children. If you have your packet, great. If you don't, you can still get one of those. People will help you with that if you don't have that available to you. In your bulletin, there's an outline you can use. Message title today. How many of you have seen the show on TV, Shark Tank? Raise your hand, or you know about what that's about. Well, that's the title of our message today. It has absolutely nothing to do with the television show, okay? But it does have something to do with certain characteristics that sharks have, and I will share those with you later on in the message. This is a message about growth. We looked last week at our first message on that. I want to start today with the book by Philip Yancey, Disappointment with God. There's a quotation in there about growth in general that I want to share with you. Yancey writes this, "Human beings grow by striving, working, stretching. And in a sense, human nature needs problems more than solutions." Ooh. There's a thought. He says, "Why are not all prayers answered magically and instantly? Why must every convert travel the same tedious path of spiritual discipline?" Answer: because persistent prayer and fasting and study and meditation are designed, get this now, primarily for our sakes, not for God's. Soren Kierkegaard said that Christians reminded him of schoolboys who want to look up the answers to their math problems in the back of the book rather than work them through. Anybody relate to that? Josh almost jumped to his feet right there. We yearn for shortcuts, don't we? But shortcuts usually lead away from growth, not toward it. Apply the principle directly to Job. What was the final result of the testing he went through? As Rabbi Abraham Heschel observed, quote, "Faith like Job's cannot be shaken because it is the result of having been shaken." I wonder how many are being shook today in some aspect of your life by circumstances. Circumstances, hurts, pains, trials, tribulations that God wants to use to strengthen your faith. I didn't say that God authored those troubles and trials. I said he wants to use, only he can take what is bad in this world and turn it into something awesome and eternally good. I hope that he'll do that today. I want to, as before we begin the body of this message, there's somewhat I would call the whole negative, the whole message is somewhat in a negative sense, because we're going to look at hindrances to growth. And I was thinking about that this week, and the Lord just kind of just stirred up my heart, and I just want to declare it here this morning that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes, you know, I think of John chapter 1 where John says that Jesus came from the Father full of grace and truth. You know, he was the perfect balance of truth with grace. And if you kind of think of love as in that ball of grace, as we know that it is, love and truth, he was the perfect balance of that. And the way that I'm kind of wired, I tend to lean toward the truth side of things. You know what I mean? The logic, the reasoning, the evidence for faith, for the Word of God, and I like to quibble in that, you know, in my mind and heart. And the Lord just kind of stirred in my heart this week that, Jerry, you know, that's all well and good, and that's half the equation, but love and grace. So I want to say that at the beginning here today before we get into the body of this message, because as we look at hindrances to growth, kind of negative things, I hope that as we pull that out and look at it, that it's your love for Christ that wants you to remove those hindrances and those hurdles. Not just a legalistic sense of, oh, that shouldn't be there. Yeah, I shouldn't do that. Should do this, but shouldn't do that. Now, love the Lord Jesus Christ. Love him. And the way that you do that is by looking at the love that he had for you and digging in that field, that treasure. Dig that out. Think about it. Meditate on it. Not just the cross and the gospel, but the, the consequences of that in our life, the relational consequences, the transformation, the comfort, the everything, the power that he supplies through that love that he has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we're looking at growth today. I want to start in Ephesians 4. We looked at that last week. It says this, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. What two words stick out there for you? Grow up. Grow up into him. That verse tells us that born-again believers, the more we truth in love, will grow up into Christ. The more we truth in love. Last week in our message, it was entitled Alive and Growing. We looked at the seven characteristics of living things. Does anybody remember the acronym, the word we used that was here? Go Racer. Very good. Thank you. Does anybody remember what those stood for? Well, we'll deal with that later. And we saw in that message, just in general, that God expects us, indeed he calls us, to grow, right? God calls us to grow. Are you growing? God saved you for that. He calls you to that. That your faith would grow and strengthen and your relationship with God would deepen. But ironically, Jesus pointed out that the beginning of growth is death. Did you know that? John 12:23, Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth." Listen to this now. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and what? And dies, it remains only a single seed. What an illustration. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And then he pulls it into life. He pulls the illustration of seeds and growing things into life. He says, the man who loves his life will lose it. That's if you remain a single seed. You protect that little seed of your life and want to make it all that it could be as a single seed. But he says, well, the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Plant it in Jesus. Die to yourself. There's going to be a lot of seed come from that. So the beginning of growth is when we die to self and live toward Christ. The goal of growth is both internal and external fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, internally in our character, and the external fruit, the harvest of the souls of men in loving service and discipleship. I mean, we hear and see that every week, don't we? We saw the Jesus Film Project, the gospel going out to billions, literally billions, millions of people. We hear it in the Gideons with the word of God being distributed all over the world, 85 million copies. Let's pull that, the breadth of that down into, well, okay, how about you and me? Are you a part of that in some way with your neighbors and your friends and your church family? You know, it's the leading others into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the highest calling, isn't it? It's a miracle every time it happens. Something dead comes to life. And it's a tremendous opportunity to influence eternity. On the heels of last week's question, I started out last week with the question, what does it mean to be alive? And we answered it with Go Racer. We're going to ask ourselves this question today. Why is growth so difficult? Why is growth so difficult? What are the hindrances to growth, in other words? And we're going to look at just four of them today. We'll finish a few more next week. And my challenge to you is this. Do you really want to grow up into Christ? If you do, and any of these hindrances kind of grips your heart today, then my advice to you is to confess that to God, which literally means in the Scripture to agree with Him about it, to agree with Him about it, and then die to self by changing of your mind, your repentance in those things. Change your mind and activity so that you can grow as He wills it. You know, life's too short not to make the most of it by growing up into Christ. So why is growth so difficult? What hinders us from growing? That's the question on the table, and we're going to jump right in with the first one. Wrong words. Again, we're going right to the initial passage I read here at the beginning, Ephesians 4:15. It says, speaking what? Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things what? Grow up into Him. Since this is the case, what happens when we choose not to speak or live truth? Well, obviously on the backside of that verse, it would hinder growth, right? If speaking the truth in love aids in growth, then the opposite would hinder it. Proverbs 18:20 speaks of the power and influence of our tongue. on our lives. It says, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is what? Satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you hear that? The power of life and death. Our words reveal the condition of our heart, don't they? And our words influence the condition of other people's hearts. You know, in Numbers 13, verse 32, this is, take you back to that past. This is when the Israelites were poised to enter the promised land, and they sent how many spies in there to check it out? Remember? 12. How many brought back a bad report? 10 of them. Only 2. Who were they? Brought back a good report. Joshua and Caleb. Well, here, this is talking about the 10. It says, they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there of great size. And when you get to Numbers 14:2, it says, all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. So the 10 bring back this horrible report. Now you got the whole nation grumbling. And the whole assembly said to them, oh, if only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. Wow, that's quite a shift in attitude. Here you are poised to enter and conquer. Now all of a sudden you want to go back to slavery and wish you'd died on the way here. See, words influence. The words of those 10 people had a powerful influence on that nation. With words we can encourage and edify, and with them we can discourage and destroy. And if the words we speak are honest and true, the scripture says you're growing. If our words are a mask we wear intended to conceal the truth of your heart's true contents, then you're hindering growth and you're promoting death, just like these 10 spies did with their words. You know, the root word of communication is what? Commune. Commune. See, our ability to communicate was given to us by God for this purpose, so that we could commune honestly with Him and with each other. You see, it's only in sin that we distort the purpose of communication to make it a means of deception and destruction. When we use our mouths recklessly, or even just to be funny or to make some people laugh, and we say some things that are a little off kilter, it's not what God gave you the ability to communicate. Ephesians 4:29 tells us really what the original intent was, why we are such communicating people. He says, Paul writes, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful. What is what? Helpful for building others up according to their needs. According to what? Oh, to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Man, that's chock full of some good words. So church, purposefully speak the truth, because wrong words are going to hinder your growth into Christ, and they can hinder the growth of others into Christ, the Christ who proclaimed, I am the truth. So the first hindrance to growth is wrong words. The second one I want to share with you is wrong goals. Wrong goals. Ephesians 5:8-10 says, for you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And what? What's the next two words? Find out what pleases the Lord. That last phrase, find out what pleases the Lord. I would ask you, what's your goal in life? What's your goal in life? Is your highest priority to please the Lord? Is that what's first and foremost in your mind in every circumstance and in every relationship? When you wake up in the morning, do you look at your day as through that lens? What today can I be all about that is going to be pleasing to the Lord? Because in that, you don't waste that day. We waste a lot of the days of our lives when our minds get caught up and filled with other stuff. But what we're talking about here, that was the mindset of Jesus. You see, there are only three general possibilities, I think. Maybe I'm oversimplifying this a little bit. But three general possibilities in your day. You're either attempting to please yourself, you're attempting to please other people, which we do so much of the time, or we're trying to please God. In everything you do, Please yourself, please somebody else, or please God. If your ultimate goal is anything other than pleasing God, then your growth's going to be hindered. If you know Christ, then live as children of light and make it your goal to please the Lord. Just make that thought enter your mind all the time. So many times we just coast through. We don't think about who we are and what we're here for. You say, well, Jared, you know, how do I come to desire to please the Lord above the other stuff going on in my life? You know, my other life desires and goals. And I would say to you this. In my experience, both negatively and positively in this, is you got to know Him better. If you know Him better, if you get to know Him deeper, better, His love for you, your heart's going to respond to that. If you look at Him and look to Him more, what you look at, you want. What you look at, you desire. Make it, it says, your goal to please Him. Find out what pleases the Lord. You're active in this. It's not just, oh, my heart's what it is, you know. What it is. No, it's not. Have your mind preach to your heart. Have your mind fill your heart with truth and with thoughts of God and passion for God, and you will have that, and your goals will change. What do we got so far? What's the first hindrance? Wrong words. What's the second one? Second one. Third one, wrong desires. Mark 4 and 16. This is Jesus telling the parable of the seed and the soil. The seed's the word, and the soil is your heart and mind. And here's what it says. He explained, others, like seed sown on rocky places, what do? Hear the word, and at once what? They receive it. Not only receive it, they receive it with joy. But since they have what? They don't have any root. They last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. This is the rocky soil. What was the problem here? No growth, right? No growth, no fruit. Why not? Because no root. Why no root? Because of the desire to avoid trouble and persecution. That took precedence in their life. See, if your desire in life is to avoid trouble, persecution, and conflict, especially when that's kind of motivated by fear, that is a real hindrance to growth, because you see, the Word of God and following Christ will bring all three. Trouble, persecution, and conflict, won't it? Yeah. Jesus said, expect it. If you stand up in this world for Christ, you're going to stand out, and you're going to experience some trouble and some persecution and some conflict. And perhaps it would be good for us to remember and to re-embrace the sufferings of Christ this morning and to recommit to God's Word, knowing that the real Jesus was and is an object of scorn in this world. Are you hearing me? The real Jesus was and is an object of scorn in this world. Now, what I'm saying here is not that we go out there and look to make trouble and persecution. That's not what we're about. And I don't think you see that in the Scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, Paul's talking to the church at Thessalonica. He says, you guys, you need to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. So we don't go looking for trouble, but we do stand firm. Never compromise Christ to avoid trouble. To do so is to reveal the rocky soil of a weak heart. And to do so really hinders your growth. So what do we got so far? We had wrong what? Words wrong. Goals wrong what?
Desire.
And this last one, I just want to close with this one. Another wrong desire on the other side of the coin of avoiding is pursuing, right? The opposite of avoiding would be pursuing. And another hindrance to growth is when we pursue the wrong things. So you can put in your blank there, wrong pursuit. We got wrong desires, now we have wrong pursuit. Mark chapter 4 and verse 18, it's the same parable as before in Mark 4, on wrong desires. Jesus said, still others, other seed, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the what? The worries of this life, the what? Deceitfulness of wealth. That phrase just jumps off the page at me. And what else? The desire for other things come in, and they choke that word. They make it unfruitful. You know, this very well may be the biggest hindrance to growth into Christ represented among believers in America. I would probably say it's the biggest hindrance to my own personal growth in Christ. In America, you know, we prosper. Little less so now than what we used to, but we still prosper. And with prosperity comes lots of options. A lot of options. You know, a lot of places in the world, what you're going to do this weekend is look for something to eat. Here, you know, we get to decide what we want to eat, whether we're going to grill it or fix it, bake it or whatever. And if we're going to do that at the lake, or if we're going to do that at our cottage, or if we're going to do that in our backyard, we got, you know, after a nice round of golf, or, you know, we got lots of options. We spend a lot of time, a lot of attention, a lot of energy, both mental and physical, a lot of priority of our soul on the worries of this temporal life, and that can really choke the eternal word. I want you to notice here that this plant, it doesn't really die. It doesn't say that it died. That it's just choked. It's unfruitful. You know, I've been weeding my garden of late, and I got these little green beans growing, and all these weeds, I've weeded it like, they're little, so they pull easy. You know, I scamper down that row, and I'm weeding it out of there, and I come back the next day, and there's more of them. You know, and I just keep weeding it. Those weeds, they steal the nutrients, they steal the water, they steal the sunlight, they steal the things the plant has to have in order to become what? Fruitful. You know, one might even say that some growth occurs there, but it's sparse and flimsy. Certainly not the kind of growth that ends in healthy reproducing. I was talking to Dan this morning, and he's, of course, a farmer, and he raises organic stuff, you know. So you can't just spray the old Roundup all over everything, and everything dies except the corn and the beans. You know, he's out there. He does battle with those weeds. He has to keep them down so that plant can reproduce seed. So, folks, until the desire and the priority of our hearts is on the love and the enjoyment of God, you see, we just don't do that enough. The love and enjoyment of God, and the love and enjoyment of God together, in small groups and stuff, loving and enjoying Him. Even in a lot of the small groups I've been in, a lot of times we spend a lot of fellowship time. How much time do we talk about and love on Jesus, you know? We talk about our farms, we talk about our fishing, we talk about our football. That was pretty good, farms, football, fishing. Anyway. We talk about all that stuff, and sometimes we just don't talk about Jesus. You know, we don't enjoy Him together. It stunts our growth. So I think sometimes we just need to weed our hearts a little bit of the desires for those other things. The deceitfulness of wealth is one of them here listed. You know, wealth is deceitful. It lies to you, doesn't it? It lies to you. It says that this is what you need. It says that this will make you happy. It says that this is who you are. You know? You're really important because you got lots of stuff. And all that's a lie. Plus, it's so temporal and it's so fleeting. Christ is what we need. He'll make you happy and He'll make you who you are. And only the living Word gives meaning and purpose and truth and relationships that deeply satisfy, only in Christ. We need to weed our hearts of things that choke the life out of Christ in us so that the eternal can grow and can reproduce. And I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me. So, you ready to hear about Shark Tank? No? Okay, let's close in prayer. Okay. Charles Simpson writes that one of the most popular aquarium fish is the shark. If you catch a small shark and you confine it, it'll stay a size proportionate to the aquarium. Did you know that? Yeah. Sharks can be 6 inches long, yet very old. But if you turn them loose in the ocean, they grow to their mature length. That also happens to some Christians. I've seen some of the cutest little 6-inch Christians who swim around in a little puddle, he says. But if you put them into a larger arena, into the whole creation, only then can they become great. So, what's your shark tank? Are you swimming in the ocean of Jesus Christ, or is your growth hindered? Think of four walls on your aquarium hindering your growth, okay? How's your words? Are your words stunting your growth? Do your words reveal truth about your soul, or do they try to put a mask up and on you that is not real? Do your words reveal truth, or do they conceal truth? Wrong words will hinder your growth in Jesus. That can be one wall of your aquarium. How about your goals? Is it your goal to please the Lord, or is it to please other people, to fit in, to be accepted in our community as just such a nice guy or such a nice girl? Or is your goal to please yourself? If your ultimate goal is to know Christ and to make Him known, then you're on the same page as God. You know that, don't you? And you'll grow. Wrong goals will hinder your growth in Jesus. How about your desires? Are you afraid? Are you afraid of people? You know how many of us are afraid of people in here? I don't know either, but I bet there's a lot. I struggle with that sometimes. Fear of man. So we desire their acceptance and admiration because we're so afraid of for our reputation among men. What do you want? Because wrong desires can be a wall of your aquarium that will hinder your growth in Jesus. Words and goals and desires. And how about your pursuit? What are you after? Are you worried over wealth and stuff? Got to have it. Got to have more. Got to have more than the other guy. Is God's word choked out by the weeds of your pursuit of other things? Because that can certainly hinder your growth. So as we close here, remember, living things grow. G. Living things are organized around the purposes of God. Living things respond to God's stimuli in the Word and in the Spirit. Living things adapt. They change via repentance as God's kindness confronts them. And living things are made of cells. You are a structural and functional unit in the body of Christ. You matter. Living things require the energy, the E, the energy of the Spirit to do life. And living things, the last R in Go Racer is reproduce. That's the point of spiritual life, to reproduce the character of Christ in you and to reproduce the character of Christ through you. Are you alive? Are you growing? Next week we're going to finish this Shark Tank message. I got a few more walls. We'll make the four-walled aquarium into about six-walled geometric shape. And I'll share with you a few more that the Lord has laid on my heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the... You're not afraid of us. You tell us the truth through the men who wrote this book as they confronted professing believers in Corinth and Thessalonica and as Jesus confronted his disciples, men devoted to following him, but so many times they didn't get it and they were distracted and distorted by other things in this world. Father, it's just like us. And it's so cool that your word is so real and so relevant that we can look at a guy like the Apostle Peter or guys like James and John, and they say stuff that could come out of our mouth. And then when Jesus goes to the cross, they abandon him. These are the men that you were going to build your church upon, their shoulders. And they couldn't cut it. They ran away. They didn't understand, and they were very much afraid. But you rose from the dead. You were the only one that understood what was going on. You rose from that grave. It was their grave. It was our grave. Our sin, our death put you there, and you overcame it. And then you sent your Spirit among them, and those same men that ran away ran towards you with such love and abandon of worldly things. You were all that mattered to them. And they were crucified. They were torn asunder, sawn in two, thrown off of high places to their death. But they would not reject the love of their life. Father, may it be so of us. May it be so of us. We sometimes entertain, I'm sure, in our hearts, would we be willing to die for you? I pray that you'd make it such that today we would entertain the question in our hearts, are we willing to live for you? Because I really believe if we're not willing to live for you right now, in the midst of all this prosperity, what's it going to be like when that prosperity is taken away? As it very well may be and probably will be. So Lord, do that work in our hearts. Pray that we would remove all that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and that we would run with perseverance the race marked out for us as individuals, as a body of Christ. And I pray that same prayer for other bodies of Christ in this community and beyond, that we would love you more than life itself and more than the stuff that is waved before our eyes each and every day in this world. Fill us with your Spirit as we go from here. I pray that we'd leave here filled with your love and with a love for you, in Jesus' name. Amen.